Alleluia, Christ is Risen. Witnesses Aplenty is the title of today's sermon given by the Reverend Dr. Stephen K. Jurdy in this morning's worship service. Coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, the presiding pastor is the Reverend Christopher S. Johnson. During this holy season of Easter, we invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through this worship service. The organist is cantor Irene Beefy. The flute is played by Jacob Roseman. The choir is Ivan Beefy, Ted Gulhagen, Jim Speckard, and Steve Zineman. The lector is Jewel Holdorf. The service begins as the pastors and Christopher process into the sanctuary during the hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, Alleluia, hymn number 463 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may, by your grace, confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them. The skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 33.
Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with a lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. Is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart for all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven, he sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their needs. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is his steadfast love.
That he may
trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. Alleluia. 8 days later, Jesus came and stood among them. Peace be with you. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess the faith with one heart.
I believe. Amen. kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In response to the Word of God, the congregation sings the hymn, O Sons and Daughters of the King, number 470 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Longer time is left behind. He saw the fear. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. People sometimes wonder why the risen Lord's appearances are so sporadic. When he rose from the dead, he did not just show up and stay. He spoke to Mary Magdalene for a little while by the tomb, but then he was gone. He spent a few hours on the road with the disciples to Emmaus, and then he disappeared. They ran back to Jerusalem, and he had already been there, but not with Thomas. Thomas was not there yet. He came a week later, and Thomas got to see him, and then he came another few days later, and he was on the beach. And then he came some long distance after that and showed himself to Paul. Why didn't he just show up and stay? Why was he so unpredictable? Perhaps the best answer to that question goes something like this. You and I would be unpredictable too if we were really alive, which so far we are not. As a man named Robert Jensen once put it, the difference between a dead man and a living man is that a living man can still surprise us. Yes, sometimes we'll find out after a man has died that he did some things before he died that surprise us, but that just proves the point. It is a living person who is free to move, free to choose and make decisions and surprise the people around him. As for a dead man, he can't do that. He can only do exactly what we make him do, lie flat on his back and get buried. No surprises there. Here is what makes slavery and other forms of bondage so vile. Whenever someone's freedom of movement and choice, someone's ability to surprise is limited, that person is a little bit less alive. The more alive we are, the more unpredictable we may be. So now we come back to Jesus, a man who has both died and risen. As a man who has both died and risen, he is the perfect man. Because he is someone who has died, we know what to expect from him. We know what his life has been. We know his commitments. We know his power and what he can do. Jesus is committed to his heavenly Father, and out of love for that same Father, he is committed to sinners. So whenever Jesus shows up, we know why he is there. He is there to increase the praise of his Father by being a help and Savior to sinners. But at the same time, as a man who is raised, as a man who is alive in a way that you and I are not alive, Jesus cannot be manipulated. He cannot be forced to break those promises to sinners. He is free to come where he wishes, when he wishes, to redeem those whom he has promised. The resurrection accounts of Jesus are uneven because he is truly alive, bringing with him, wherever he goes, that commitment to salvation. So now we come to Thomas. All of this has been a prelude to Thomas and his criticisms. Sometimes we call him Doubting Thomas, yes? And whenever we do, somebody on his public relations team, aka the church, usually jumps forward and says, well, shouldn't we really call him Believing Thomas? Yes, all of that is true. For today, let's call him Critical Thomas. Thomas is critical the way you and I are critical when something has surprised us. Something has come into our lives that we do not expect. Something unpredictable happened to Thomas. And so he tries to rein it back in with standards of predictability that make sense to this dying world. Unless I see it with my eyes or touch it with my hands, I will not believe it. In that perspective, Thomas sounds a lot like people today who insist that they cannot believe the resurrection because science cannot confirm it. Sometimes they'll even say, I'm too smart to believe something like that. I'm too much of a critical thinker. I believe too much in science. And science does rely on what we see and touch and observe. But now Jesus comes and he raises a question for us. What if there is a world that is more alive than the world science can observe? Science belongs to a dying world. Of course it relies on what it can see and what it can touch. That's the way it goes in this world of death. But now one greater than the world has come. A life greater than this world's life has come. What happens if there is something more alive, something unpredictable that science cannot quite handle? Well, what happened is that Jesus kindly and mercifully showed himself to Thomas. As the man who died and who still carries the wounds of his resurrection, he came to Thomas and he said, yes, go ahead, see and touch. But now I will put forward to you the new way. Now I will give you the way to touch and see the world that is even more alive than this world. And that is the way of believing my witnesses. See, Jesus was making Thomas a witness. And in all those sporadic appearances, he is making other people witnesses, the women, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, more than 500 people, we are told. All of them now people who had seen the Lord and who shared that account with others. And Jesus promises that all who believe that witness are as alive as he is. The risen Lord, to whom the Father has given all authority in heaven and on earth, has promised that those witnesses carry the word of life in them. And such Christian faith, when those witnesses take hold of us, can be unpredictable. Suddenly, as the world became more and more Christian, amazing things began to happen. Societies that had not cared as much about the elderly or the sick or the unborn now carried about them a great deal. Suddenly, enemies would be reconciling. A new vision of humanity was arising in which people could be brothers across national lines. Most surprising of all, wherever people persecuted this faith, it grew. Unpredictable, to be sure. So that Christianity grows where it is comfortable, and Christianity grows even more where it is painful. Why? Because Jesus has not only brought a new world, he has brought a new way into that world. The way of trusting the witnesses who saw it. As many people have observed, but the world sometimes forgets, the resurrection is as witnessed as any ancient event, even more so. Earthquakes, wars, famines from the ancient world, usually the account of those things come down to us from one man who has decided to write about them, maybe a few inscriptions here and there. Many religions are that way too. Islam, Mormonism, Buddhism, they all come to us originating with the writings of just one man, but not Christianity. In Christianity, there are witnesses aplenty. Prophets who said Jesus would come. Apostles who saw and touched him. Women who proclaimed him after speaking to him at the tomb. More than 500 witnesses who saw him after he rose. All of that gives us sturdy cause to say, indeed, Christ is risen. So what would you expect from a church that is really alive, but that this church also would be unpredictable and surprising, clear in its commitments, because this is the church also that has died. This is the church that has died in Christ, and therefore we with Christ are committed to the Father. We are committed to sinners. We are committed to proclaiming the gospel. And at the same time, who knows what he will do through this church? Who knows what he will do through that body of people that are more alive than people have ever been before? Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia.
Standing in the glorious light of the resurrection, let us pray. Heavenly Father, in holy baptism, the children of your church are born again to a living hope. Feed and nourish our faith. Bring us through every trial and lend strength and joy to our praises of the risen Christ, O Lord of life. Gracious Lord, give courage to all pastors as they preach and teach the word, and that all who hear may believe, and that in their believing they may live in righteousness and godliness until the day of Christ returns as judge and Lord of all, O Lord of life. Merciful Father, remember those who have wandered from the household of faith. Faithful to your promises, work all things in their lives to remind them of their need of your unending grace and steadfast love, that they might return to the faith and delight in your Son, crucified and raised for them, O Lord of life. Blessed Lord, as your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst, including Avery, Barb, Dave, and Joyce, James, Kathy, Lillian, and all of Zion's homebound members. Comfort also those who weep, especially the family of Johanna, with the blessed joy of Easter morning, O Lord of life. Father in heaven, you gave the testimony of your Spirit in the water and the blood that poured from Christ's wounded side. Grant that having received this testimony in the waters of baptism, we may receive it in the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Supper, and so overcome the world by our faith in him, O Lord of life. Hear our prayers for the sake of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen.
Preparation for the Blessed Sacrament of Holy Communion, the choir sings the offertory, "Now the Green Blade Rises," a French carol.
Love is come again,
like wheat arising green. When our hearts are wintry, grieving or in pain, your touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again like wheat arising green.
Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you will raise us up from death to eternal life. Send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his body and blood.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Amen.
In the same way also after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
this is the feast of victory for our God.
Alleluia.
congregation will sing the following hymns from the Lutheran Service Book, O Lord, We Praise Thee, number 617, a selection from the Lutheran Book of Worship called Peace to Soothe Our Bitter Woes. Alleluia, Jesus is Risen, number 474 from the Lutheran Service Book, and We Know That Christ is Raised, number 603. The recessional hymn is This Joyful Eastertide, number 482 in the Lutheran Service Book. The postlude will be This Joyful Eastertide by John A. Behnke.
and Savior Jesus Christ, and into the true faith and keep you to life everlasting. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
join us at this same time next Sunday morning. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Check us out on Facebook for live streamed events or visit our website, zionlutheranwasa.com. Zion has been broadcasting on this radio station each Sunday morning for 87 years, and the Wasa Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your financial gifts, which make these broadcasts possible. You may make a donation and get more information at Zion's website, www.zionlutheranwasa.com. Or you may mail your donation to Zion Lutheran Church, 709 North 6th Street, Wasa, Wisconsin, 54403. May our Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed week.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Go in peace. Alleluia.